Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
I'm joined now from our Dáil studio by co-leader of the Social Democrats, Roisin Shortall. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Claire.
So first, that sad news that the cervical cancer campaigner Vicky Phelan has died, and I'm sure you would want to pay tribute, Roisin, to Vicky this morning.
Yes, Claire. Like everyone in the country, I'm really so sorry and sad to hear the terrible news this morning of Vicky's passing earlier in Limerick. And on my own behalf and on behalf of my party, I want to extend our deepest sympathy and condolences to Vicky's family, her friends and her colleagues. She has certainly battled very bravely with cervical cancer since 2014, a battle I think she shouldn't have had. She's been extraordinarily brave and selfless in not only fighting her own battle, but also in devoting herself to advocating on behalf of all of those people who are impacted by the cervical check issue. I think she's done a huge amount to improve women's healthcare generally, but also to achieve openness and accountability within our health service. I think we all owe her a huge debt of gratitude for her own wonderful spirit, but also for her courage and generosity. And I think the whole country will join with her family in mourning her very sad passing.
Yes, and her legacy will live on, as we heard Dr. Gabriel Scally saying that he will be reporting on progress on foot of his report in the coming weeks. Now, to move on to other matters, Roisin Shortall, and the Taoiseach we spoke to him earlier this morning, he gave no clue as to who will be part of the cabinet following the December reshuffle. And there's a lot of interest in who will be Minister for Health and whether Stephen Donnelly will remain in that portfolio. Stephen Donnelly appeared to pitch to keep the job in the Business Post interview yesterday. What would you like to see happen?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting piece in the Business Post. I'm not sure what the purpose of it was, really. It was unusual for Tony O'Brien to be doing an interview like that. However, I mean, what I would like to see is a firm commitment by government generally, not just whoever happens to be the minister, but there's a need for a cross-government commitment, and particularly from the Taoiseach, to the full implementation of Sláintecare. Look, you know, we can go through the many, many aspects of the healthcare of our healthcare system which are not functioning properly, and the fact that so many people are denied access to timely healthcare. I mean, it is just shocking at this stage in the country's development and given the wealth of the country that so many people just cannot get basic access to healthcare, whether in the community or at hospital level, and that so many other people feel they have no choice but to fork out for very expensive health insurance. Now, that is a situation which cannot continue. The plan is there in Sláintecare. The government has, you know, been lukewarm in relation to its implementation. And what we need to see now is a whole of government response to this, because it doesn't just involve the Minister for Health. It also involves, you know, the Minister for Finance, the Minister for Public Expenditure, and particularly the Taoiseach. And he and the incoming Taoiseach in December need to put their full weight behind the implementation of Sláintecare. We're way behind every other European country in regard to public health care.
Yeah, but the Taoiseach was reminding us this morning, you know, that we shouldn't be taking a general view when it comes to health care. He conceded, yes, there are problems in some emergency departments, but he spoke about ease of access to basic care through primary care and minor injury clinics. Do you accept that things have improved at that level?
Well, I heard the comments of the Taoiseach there earlier on, Claire, and it just brought to mind the fact that the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, as Minister for Health in 2001, that's 21 years ago, brought forward the primary care strategy. And we're still talking about putting in place the building blocks. Now, small progress has been made over the past year or so, but we have a very, very long way to go. The key issue within healthcare is the lack of access. And people are losing their lives, they're losing their quality of life. children are losing key years out of their childhood because of the difficulty in getting access to proper health care. That's the number one issue that needs to be dealt with. And a huge obstacle to that at the moment is also the issue of recruitment and retention within the health service, because we have now a situation where funding is being provided, but staff aren't available. And, you know, there has to be a whole new approach, a provision of confidence to people that the government is serious about implementing Sláintecare care to achieve that properly functioning public health care system. And it's only when the government signals its clear intent in that regard that people will have the confidence to stay in Ireland and will believe, this is healthcare workers, that they will stay in Ireland and believe that they can be part of a major reform programme which is so badly needed.
And can Stephen Donnelly achieve any of that over the rest of the term of this government?
I think that's certainly possible. As I say, the plan is there. What is needed now is the courage to drive that plan and to stand up to the many vested interests in the health system who don't want to see reform and who don't want to see a properly functioning public health service. But he needs to take his courage in his hands now. Whoever is the minister after December will need to do that and will need to stand up to those vested interests. But that person will also need to have the full backing of the Taoiseach and the entire government in making this happen. Ireland is an outlier in European terms in not having a properly functioning health service. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, people absolutely deserve, and it's something that is desperately okay. needed.
A couple of other issues that Taoiseach touched on that I wanted to ask you about. Now, he said that any surviving members of the Spiritan Order who allegedly abused pupils at Blackrock College in Dublin and elsewhere should be investigated by An Garda Síochána. But he seemed this morning not to rule out the possibility of a commission of inquiry into this. What do you think should happen?
I certainly think there should be an inquiry. The Gardaí will do what they have to do in terms of pursuing complaints that they receive about criminal activity. But there is a major issue here facing the country, and that is what has happened in our day schools in particular in relation to the abuse of pupils. Going back over many years, the country has not dealt with this issue. It's a legacy issue, and it's a legacy issue that is impacting huge numbers of lives. And the government now needs to establish a proper full inquiry into what has happened in relation to the abuse of children over many years in several of our schools, which have been run by religious congregations. So, you know, the issue that has come to light now is in particular in relation to the Spiritans. But we also had those similar issues coming to light last year in relation to Belvedere College, for example, and the Jesuits. There are also issues in relation, you know, covered in the papers this morning in relation to a school in Kildare. Now, you know, this goes across our schools. It's especially in relation to schools that are run and in some cases continue to be run by religious congregations. And there has to be a full opening up, a proper inquiry into what has happened, into the lives that have been destroyed and hugely impacted over so many years. And there needs to be an atonement and a redress for that. And responsibility for that redress lies with the government as the agency responsible for providing education services, but also those religious congregations to whom the government handed over responsibility for the education system, and which is still actually the case. So there needs to be a sharing of responsibility in relation to that, and a sharing of the redress which would be necessary to those who have been so negatively impacted.
Okay, and you believe that that inquiry can happen in tandem with any Garda investigation?
Yes, I do believe that can happen.
Okay, I want to ask you about these long COVID clinic. The one at the Mater Hospital, it was confirmed last week, it's going to close in December due to a lack of state funding. It's been open since June of 2020, the first year of the pandemic. That's likely to have serious implications for people who need and are getting treatment for long COVID.
Absolutely. Look, this makes no sense whatsoever. The first long COVID clinic that was established was in the Mater Hospital under Jack Lambert. In the last 2 years, a huge amount of expertise and research has been developed in that clinic. They have seen approximately 1,500 patients. So that is the centre of excellence in this country in relation to long COVID. The government in recent months decided to set up 6 long COVID clinics. Extraordinarily and inexplicably, the Mater is not one of those. They've announced the setting up of these clinics. They're not all functioning at this point. There's only about a third of the staff available, about a third of the posts filled at the moment in relation to those clinics. And of course, the other thing is that the early thinking on long COVID was that it was largely to do with lungs and heart. It certainly is to do with both of those, but there is a huge component in relation to neurological issues, things like chronic fatigue, brain fog, serious difficulties in concentration, all of those kind of neurological issues. And, you know, again, inexplicably, the 6 new clinics only have provision for 1 shared neurologist. Now, you know, there has been a clinic in existence, as I say, in the Mater for a long time. That's where the expertise exists. That clinic must continue. And
so,
you know,
just to explain to people then, this plan for the 6 long COVID clinics, there'll be 1 in each hospital group.
Yes.
And in Ireland East, it'll be in Vincent's, not in the Mater.
That's right. And that decision was taken that the single clinic for the Ireland East Hospital Group would be located in Vincent's.
But I suppose now, the HSE might argue, well, there will be a service there. It's not as though there won't be a service for people in Ireland East.
Well, you see, that's in theory, Claire. As I say, most of the staff haven't been recruited and there'll be great difficulty recruiting the staff. But for example, the clinic serving Ireland East is in Vincent's, as you say. There's a 10-month waiting list to get into Vincent's long COVID clinic. Now, that is just completely unacceptable and people are being forced then, and getting back to the point I was making earlier about the health service generally, people are being forced to fork out €250 to see a consultant. Now, bearing in mind, long COVID by its nature goes on for several months. The impact of that is enormous on a person's life and on their ability to function normally. In many cases, people have to cease working. Or they go out sick from work. They try to get back to work and they can work maybe 1 or 2 days a week and simply cannot manage anymore.
Okay.
They have to cut back on things like overtime and all of that.
So
Claire,
yeah.
I would say particularly in respect of frontline healthcare workers who have been very, very badly impacted by long COVID. You know, the idea that we're saying to them, on the one hand, they did a great job during COVID, but on the other hand, you know, they have to take time off work on a long-term basis, they can't get access to proper healthcare for long COVID and they're hugely impacted financially.
So
it's
not
acceptable.
Are you saying that there should be a clinic in operation both in the Mater and in Vincent's?
Yes, I am. Absolutely. And the Mater clinic has to be allowed to continue treating the people it is currently seeing and has been seeing for some time. And, you know, it has been operating on the basis of research money since the middle of 2021. Back in July of this year, the Mater submitted a full business case to the HSE and they have had no response since.
Okay.
Now, you know, that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I'm calling directly on the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, to examine this matter, to look at the business case and to sanction the necessary funding in order to keep this important clinic operating.
OK, one more issue, just briefly to address the coverage in the papers over the weekend about proposals expected to give full legal rights to both parents of children who are born through international surrogacy. Now, I'm sure that's a welcome development for many families across the country who have spent years, we know, living in a legal limbo. Are you confident that this will solve the problems?
From what I hear of reports of the government's intentions, yes, I would be. You know, bearing in mind that the Minister for Health, especially a few months ago, suggested that it wouldn't be possible to include provision for international surrogacy in the bill that's going through the Oireachtas at the moment, the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill. As a result of a special committee that was established under my own colleague, Jennifer Whitmore, there's a report from that committee which made recommendations in relation to the key issue of international surrogacy. It seems that the government are now prepared to take that on board and include it in as amendments to the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill that's going through at the moment. I certainly expect that the issues affecting those many families, and it's reckoned that, you know, there's approximately about 1,000 families at the moment who are in that legal limbo where there is legal uncertainty about parentage and the rights of parents in terms of signing legal documents and all of that kind of thing. So I hope that that will be addressed, okay, and indeed arrangements will be made for the proper regulation of surrogacy going forward.
Okay, Roisin Shortall, thank you for joining us this morning on the programme. Now, coming up next, quiet carriages but not a sandwich or a drop of tea to be found. Brian O'Connell travels on Irish Rail. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.